Penguin Audio presents Somebody Else's Daughter by Elizabeth Brundage. Read by Bernadette Dunn with Mark Bramhall.
Summer, 1989. We left San Francisco that morning, even though your mother was sick. It was a pretty day, the sun shimmering like a gypsy girl's tambourine. I thought it would be good for her to get out into the sunshine because it had been a long few weeks of rain and her skin had gone gray as oatmeal, and she had this dull look flaming up in her eyes. You were sleeping in your little rocking seat, and I had your things all packed. We didn't have much. It was time to go, but Kat wanted me to wash her hair first, said she couldn't go out looking like that. Holding her head in my hands, I could feel her, bright with fever. From behind, she looked like a healthy schoolgirl, just her sweet body and that long, yellow hair. Then she'd turn around and you'd get pins in your heart. I wrapped her head in a towel and said, "You take your meds today, kitty cat." And she nodded with her long face, the kind of woman you'd see in a museum up on the old canvases, a woman washing clothes or out in the fields, a strong body with large, capable hands, and this wisdom in her eyes because she knows more than you. She hated the idea that she was sick, and even with you so small, she was still shooting drugs. Dope kept her comfortable. It had always been her favorite thing to do, and that's the truth. You could see it just after she put the needle in. Like an angel, her face would go hazy and beautiful, like so much fog. She dreamed of horses, she said. She told me she'd come into the world wanting to ride, wanting to be near the big, dark creatures. Horses understood her. People made her nervous. This was your mother. This was the woman I loved. We made you one night in a broken house, your mother riding my hips and howling with pleasure. And then 6 weeks later, she's throwing up and wanting strange foods from the Iranian down on Willard Avenue. Months passed, and her belly went round and tight. At the clinic, they said she had a weak heart, an HIV. Maybe her baby wouldn't get it. They didn't know. They gave her some pills and told her to come back every 3 weeks. She quit dope that afternoon and took the pills and started going to church. She told me she had begged Jesus for a miracle. She believed in miracles, she said. She believed in Jesus. She liked to light the candles and sit in the darkness and think, and then she'd get down on her knees and press her palms together. I'd watch her sometimes in the trembling blue light among the other whispering strangers. This one day we were walking through the park, leaning and kissing, that smell at the nape of her neck, the nape, like vanilla, like I don't know what, heaven. And then she's down on all fours in labor, and this crowd comes around, and she's white as fucking God, and the next thing I know we're in a taxi with this Pakistani barking orders, and I'm just wondering how we're going to pay for it. At the hospital, they gave Kat a C-section on account of the HIV. They let me stand there and hold her hand, and when I saw you for the first time, I started to cry. I couldn't help it. You were bundled in a little blanket, and you had on a little hat, and you were the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. I handed you to your mother, and she was trembling and a little frightened, and it made me want to crawl up next to her and hide my face in her chest. The nurse explained that there was a chance you'd be all right. They wouldn't know for a few months. We'd just have to be patient. I promised Kat that everything would be okay. I'd make sure of it. But she shook her head. "I'm sick," she said. They made her talk to a shrink. I waited out in the hall, and I could hear her crying. I didn't know what to do. I went down to the waiting room and bought a candy bar and sat there. There were some old books on the table, old paperbacks. One had a girl on the cover who looked like your mother. The book was My Antonia, and I vaguely remembered reading it in high school. Later, I gave it to her, and she snapped it out of my hands and told me to leave her alone. We had this thing between us. She didn't think she was smart enough for me, which of course wasn't true. She was the smartest person I ever knew, the kind of smart you don't get in school. I'd gone to a fancy prep school where my father was a teacher.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?